Hello, Mr. and Mrs. I heard you call me Boring Barbie when the Cokes got you brave and all the ships at sea. It's Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. We're the best podcast you're not listening to. We talk about anything and everything on this show, and if you aren't offended in the first 5 minutes, we'll try harder.
Or you're not listening.
I'm Brian Drake. He's Scott. No Ziggy today, but to my right and across the table from you, we got Coach. How are you, Coach?
What's up? What's up?
We are coast to coast, nationwide, around the world. Home base is Radioslot.com. You can also hear us on Spotify and now Rumble. Drake and Scott on Spotify, Drake and Scott podcast on Rumble, full show archive at BrianDrakeBooks.com. Thank you for listening wherever you are. On today's show,
No. You have to stop.
I have to stop what?
What the hell was that intro?
Brave with the two Cokes or something?
That sounded like a bunch of gibberish. I have no idea what you said.
Aren't you paying attention?
I thought I was.
That's a Taylor Swift lyric from her new record.
Okay, say it again.
I heard you call me Boring Barbie when the Cokes got you brave.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That's like the cleanest lyric I can quote from her new record. She's getting a lot of flack for some of the naughty lyrics.
Really? No, she went off.
I was unaware of that.
And did you hear about all the racist stuff about Kelsey's ex-girlfriend or wife or whatever?
Yeah, and Kelsey's...
In the lyrics, it talks about something Onyx Nights.
Yeah,
and now Opalescent...
And she sings about his wang, so you know it's a whole new record.
Oh, no. Please no.
Yeah, no, it's
she's gone dirty.
That's pretty funny.
She's gotten a lot of flack for it. Yeah. So, on today's show, Pope Leo wants all borders open except the Vatican's because Catholics. Am I right? Secretary Hegseth getting rid of woke generals. Harvard has hired a drag queen named Lahore Vajistan as a visiting professor.
That's legit.
Yeah.
And that can't be legit.
It is.
No, and that's not their real name.
That's the drag queen name. Also, waiting in line is good for your brain. We always start with a crazy on the way. Silly things that happen to us on the day of the show or prior to recording. Now, Coach, you said you had a good one today.
I have a really good one. So, after soccer practice this last week, I met with some of the former people in my soccer club, and we went to the tequila bar, and we had a couple of drinks.
Okay.
A couple.
So far.
A couple is two.
A couple.
Two. You didn't have
no,
two.
No, it was a couple. Only, okay. Only two.
Okay.
And then there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us. And then... three of us said, you know what, I'm going to call it a night. And then it turned out I was taking the other one home, which I hadn't
planned on.
And they didn't really say. The others left. And I said, okay, well, she goes, hey, let's go to that dive bar. And there's only one dive, real truly dive bar in Pleasanton. It's called the Y'all Come Back. I'm going to say that again. Y'all Come Back.
Y'all Come Back now.
Yeah, Y'all Come Back. And I will.
They don't say you here?
I will y'all never go there again.
Y'all oh, wow. Come back
they
now,
they cannot. They cannot get enough of a unendorsement from me. So, me and this woman go to this bar to have one more drink, and then I'm going to take her home. She turns out she didn't bring her car, which I didn't know about. So we're sitting down, and she has a Paloma, and I have a whiskey on the rocks. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bar, and there's probably six people in it. And there's this little blonde bartender. You know what a septum piercing is?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know?
Do I want to know?
It's the bull. The bull ring in your nose.
Yeah. Okay.
And which I always thought on a female, well, on anybody really, it's just one of the least attractive things. You look like a pig to me, or a cow, or something. I don't know.
It's
just
you put them on bulls too. Drag them around.
Yeah, it's one of the least attractive things. Anyway, but she's this little bartender and this little kind of pixie, thin little blonde chick, you know, very young, probably mid-20s. And so me and my companion are just having a small talk, and she said something, I hate Trump. And I said, but do you really? You know, and we're talking, it's a very, very calm conversation. And I said, yeah, you know, and I don't love the way he kind of comes off and sounds sometimes. It's a little bit coarse and a little bit this and a little bit that, and I get it. But I certainly like what he's doing. He's certainly doing what he said he was going to do, and blah, 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 and we're talking, and then I turn to the left, and this bartender has both her forearms, her fingers interlocked, both her forearms on the bar, and she's kind of leaning down, and she's looking me right in the eye with this little smile. And she says, hi. And I said, hi. And she goes, we don't do that here. And I said, excuse me? She goes, no, we don't do that here. And I said, do what? She goes, well, what you guys are doing? I said, you don't talk in this bar? She goes, no, we don't have political conversations. I said, well, it's a really good thing that you're not involved in this conversation. Yeah. Because it's not we, it's we.
She and I, not you.
Not you.
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, I'm happy to allow you to have this conversation outside.
Wow.
And I said, well, and I downed my drink. I said, give me the bill.
Yeah.
So she gives me the bill. I pay it. I pull a dollar out of my pocket, put it on the bar, and walk out. And now as we're walking out, I'm just, you know, just I wasn't going to have the conversation at that point in time. It's like, you know, and they can refuse to serve anybody. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it was when, and oh, by the way, this person I'm with is kind of a liberal, and they thought it was appalling.
Wow.
And, you know, and I was like, yeah, well, and I'm quite loud enough for her to hear. I was like, you know, I gave her a dollar tip on purpose just so she didn't think I forgot about it, that I wanted to be very clear that I thought she was a douche. And, yeah, it just, and oh, by the way, nobody was around us. This was not a loud conversation. Mm-hmm. It was a private conversation. Yeah, I'll never go back to the y'all come back.
Wow.
And if you are at all conservative or you believe in free speech, I would suggest that you don't go there either.
Wow. All right.
Wow. You need to add a name to their title, to the store, to the bar name. Y'all never come back.
Y'all never come back. Yeah, I won't.
Y'all don't come back.
They will never get one more cent of my. And she, you know, she doesn't own the place. Or I assume she doesn't own the place. But
it's well, just, I wonder if that's a directive from her boss, from management.
It might be.
They just don't want political talk in their bar.
Or maybe
they've had too many altercations between.
I don't know.
People who've had a little too much Brave Sauce, and now they want to talk.
Well,
and then they fight.
I get it, but this wasn't that.
Yeah.
You know, this really wasn't.
Interesting.
It was talk about if there's anything that was a crazy on the way, that's it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, my neighbor's upside down flag is still flying, and it's unfortunately perfectly legal for her to do so. So,
Did you research that?
I did. Yeah, I mentioned it to a buddy of mine, and he helped me out. And he's like, "Yeah, there's really nothing you can do here. It's she's not supposed to, but there's nothing against it. And it's, you know, the upside down flag is a message of distress for veteran, you know, for military and all that. And there's nothing we can do. You know, it's except fly bigger flags the right way."
There you go.
So, my other neighbor with the big flagpole, he has his going, and a couple neighbors down the street have theirs out. So,
I think you had to get everybody around her.
Yeah, that would be fun.
And even in you know, anybody who's not really into it, just say, "Hey, can I do this for you?"
Yeah, I will put the flag up for you.
Yeah, so. Yeah, no, seriously.
All you got to do is you say, "I know a great bar for you."
Yeah, no, it's called the Y'all.
Go down to Y'all Come Back, and mm-hmm. you can have a great old time over there.
you can just fly your flags upside down all day.
That's right. Scott, what about you?
Well, I broke my wrist. We talked about that last week.
But you weren't in the full cast yet.
Yeah, I was in a splint, and then the next day after we recorded last week, I went in, and they said, "Why, sir, have you been using your hand?" I said, "Why?" Said, because the gap in your fracture is actually larger than it was 12 days ago. Mm. What have you been doing? It's like, oh, sorry.
What have you been
guilty? And she
what
said,
what have you been doing?
I was moving boxes and unloading things and
just checking.
Yeah. So she says, well, congratulations. You're the owner of a new 3-week hard cast.
Yeah.
So now I got to deal with this.
Yeah.
It's really, I've never broken a limb before or had to wear a cast like this. It's driving me nuts, man. I can't tie my shoes, like barely use a computer. It's terrible. So it's crazy is what it is.
We need to get you an assistant.
Yeah. I need a new doctor.
Like one of those Downton Abbey assistants that help you dress.
Oh, like a butler? Or,
yeah.
What
yeah.
They have a special name for that.
I don't know what the names are. But yeah, we need to get
chambermaid.
We need to get you one of those.
Yeah, I need a personal assistant.
Hey, I wanted to finish out this Harvard thing. Harvard has hired drag performer Kareem Kubachandani, known as Lahore Vajistan, as a visiting professor for the Studies of Gender and Sexuality program. Kubachandani, who is also an associate professor at Tufts University,
mm-hmm.
will be teaching classes on topics such as queer and ethnography. Ew.
Yeah, it sounds like a disease.
And the show...
You have to take penicillin for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the show RuPaul's Drag Race. They're going to study this in Harvard.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so you graduate from Harvard and you get a degree in this.
Mm-hmm.
How do you monetize? Like, how do you make
money? I don't know.
What's the benefit?
I don't know. And it's I refuse to treat the subject that seriously because, I mean, Harvard is just a bunch of rich white people that go into the CIA anyway. So to have them have to deal with this, I think, is quite amusing. The fellow says, my name is Lahore Vajistan. My preferred pronouns are she or auntie. I chose Lahore because my family traces its origins to Pakistan. Lahore is an important city in Pakistan. And, well, I'm a bit of one. And Vajistan because I see the subcontinent as one big, beautiful vag.
Harvard.
Well, how does anybody there take that seriously?
They can't.
Somebody decided to hire this person.
Yes, and pay him a salary, yeah, and set up this... This rather Barbara Streisand style class.
Well, listen,
and
it's Kubachandani will often lecture in drag, combining performance with academic content.
Yeah, and I just imagine
Given her a stage.
Yeah, these rich white
at
kids.
Harvard.
Yeah, these rich white kids are not going to know what hit them here, and I think it's fine. It's
and there are pictures, and it's awful.
Yeah,
it's.
I'm so glad that I. I'm not seeing this right now.
That's right.
Oh, no, I'm about to show you.
No, please don't. I'll never be able to take that image out.
Oh, it's not that bad.
It's pretty bad. Here we go. There you go, buddy.
Yeah, oh, meet your new professor.
Ugh. Oh, my. Oh, the pop-up ad just...
Yeah, the pop-up ad saved you.
Saved me for a second
there. There you go.
That's...
Yeah, so have fun paying an exorbitant amount of money at Harvard because
look at the makeup.
Yeah,
look at the makeup.
Well, and now
lots of blue.
Are we still subsidizing Harvard?
I hope not. I don't know. I don't think so.
No, I think one of the current administration's decision was to defund university subsidies when they're not.
Yeah,
when they're doing silliness.
Yeah, they're not doing education.
I wonder
what Charlie Kirk would say about
that. The alumni that write very big checks to Harvard might have something to say about it. But yeah, anyway, I thought it was hilarious. I mean, at least it's not a real college, you know. It's Harvard's just a recruitment farm for the CIA. I really can't get upset about this. I just think it's hilarious.
Although it does occur to me, with Ziggy not here, where are we at in time?
We have 30 seconds till our
look
first
at you.
Break. Yeah.
It's rough being Ziggy. Actually, do you know where he went?
He went to Samoa.
No, he went. He's off to Harvard. He's going to take some classes.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, then he might not be welcome back. Then certainly if he looks like that,
He's going in his alter ego though.
Okay. Yeah.
With the pseudonym. Yeah.
Which is.
I Lahore, Vajistan? Was that Ziggy?
In
that
picture? No, Ziggy, what are you doing?
Wait a minute. So Ziggy? Harvard hires this guy at the same time Ziggy is gone.
Okay.
Wait, did you call him a guy?
Whatever.
Yeah,
you're supposed to call.
He stands up when he pees.
You're supposed to use auntie.
No, I refuse.
Isn't this unusual or odd that it happens at the same time that Ziggy's gone? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Coincidence?
Is it? Are there really ever any coincidences?
No, probably not. And on that note, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach, back with you on Radioslot.com. Before...
Except we're Ziggy free.
With Ziggy free.
Ziggy free.
Before we get to any of our other topics, I do want to talk about what's going on in Israel right now. Because, I mean, it is fresh, it is ever-changing, and what we say today, Monday, as we record this, is going to be different tomorrow and Wednesday, but...
Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe.
No.
But it's still important enough, we should bring it up. The 20 surviving Israeli hostages held by Hamas in Gaza regained their freedom today, more than 2 years after they were kidnapped, amid emotional scenes and jubilation from crowds gathered to welcome them home. The men had been among 250 people seized by Hamas militants from southern Israel on October 7, 2023, during an attack that killed more than 1,200 people. Israel's retaliation killed more than 67,000 people over 2 years. And, of course, Mr. Trump had a big hand in this, and he's over there now, and crowds are...
I love that, by the way.
Yeah.
The fact that he flew there,
mm-hmm.
And actually there's some troops there as well.
Yes.
But they said specifically they were not going to be, like, walking the streets of mm-hmm. Gaza or any of that stuff, but it's just a show of really support. In fact, I think it was even said that if... Because there was a ceasefire, 8 months ago or something?
Yeah.
That fell through, that fell apart. Right?
Yep.
And, but the fact that his presence there will probably affect it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're thinking those 20, so all the surviving hostages have now been returned.
Right. And they're still getting back remains. Some remains of those that died in captivity are missing. Hamas doesn't know where they put them, so they're not. There's going to be some issue there.
But, okay, and that's some issue. But at the end of the day, we've got alive people. All of them mm-hmm. have been returned.
Right.
That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to diminish the remain thing.
But the hostage part is over.
And that's the main thing, right?
So yeah,
are we going to call that, forget about moving forward, forget about seeing what's happening, are we going to call that success?
I would.
Hey, that's been my thing the whole time.
100%.
Send the hostages home.
And they
did. Release the hostages. Now they finally did it.
And
I'm surprised, actually. I had very little confidence that this was going to happen over the weekend.
They're cheaters, and I fully expected them to cheat again. We're going to keep these five, or, you know.
Well, how do you trust people who can't even find the dead bodies?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, especially when they knew this day was going to come at some point, and that this was going to be a huge issue.
Mm-hmm.
How do you lose that? It's like,
yeah, that's well, and I would guess it's probably just cover. They've disposed of the bodies a long time ago.
Yeah.
And they just don't want to admit it right now. They're trying to get the political clout for the actual peace deal coming through, and the hostages are living ones are released. They don't want to throw shade on it by admitting the dark side of reality.
Mm-hmm. Who they are.
Yeah.
And President Trump is set to receive the Israeli Presidential Medal of Honor. It's the nation's most prestigious civilian award for his role in brokering the Gaza ceasefire. There was a very funny tweet from a parody account on Twitter, but I almost thought it was real at first, and then I saw who posted it, and it was one of those things where I'm actually waiting for this joke to become reality, but the lady said that we're protesting the ceasefire because we refuse to acknowledge any ceasefire brokered by President Trump. And
which tells you very clearly.
Well, no. It was a parody, but it was like, that is so close to reality. I'm sure something very similar is going to come up with.
Of course.
Just like it.
They don't care about the reality of it. The entire left, the entire Democratic Party spends all their time we're just going to oppose Trump. We're not even going to think about content or what he does or what the reality of it is. If it's, if he's doing it, we're going to oppose it.
Right.
Which is a really good segue into, you know, Trump won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Sort of. Yeah. That's,
no, he did. As far as I'm concerned. So,
do you want to read it?
I do.
Okay. Go for it.
Maria Corina Machado dedicated her Nobel Peace Prize to President Donald Trump, praising his support for her fight for democracy in Venezuela. Trump was passed over for the award, despite backing from allies and world leaders. Trump said Machado told him she accepted the prize in his honor. Yeah. You know what? He won the Nobel Peace Prize, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah,
you can say it.
I just did.
Yeah, no, I know.
Well, and that's just one of the issues, like what he's done in Venezuela, right? What did he just do in Israel and Palestine?
Well,
he just brokered a peace deal, right?
So I actually researched the Nobel Peace Prize, and there's only this, like, and it's Alfred Nobel. He said, this is what it's about. Creating fraternity between nations, the standing down of standing armies, and just peace in general. It's just like these three really basic stuff, which he's done literally all over the world.
Yeah.
And yeah, when they're talking about world leaders, what do they say? Allies and world leaders, had the backing for him to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as I, and good on her, you know, this is, and she won the Peace Prize for, you know, what her little, and
she did great work.
I don't want to diminish.
Yeah.
But in her little, and again, I keep saying little and I don't mean to diminish, but it's Venezuela. It's that one thing.
Right.
He's done it all over the world.
Yeah.
She recognized that he helped her with that whole thing, but he's done it all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it involves one country.
Yeah, that's my point. And he's done it in multiple countries.
Well, conflicts between countries. Venezuela's conflict is all internal.
Internal, yeah.
It all resides within Venezuela. So it's not really a peace prize internationally.
Worthy of it. I agree.
Well, it's worthy.
Yeah.
But it's a smaller... But
the Nobel Peace Prize, maybe not.
Yeah. I think what he's done is...
eclipses that.
It affects more.
And he helped her with it.
Right. But nobody's going to be talking about her after what's going on in Israel today.
Sure.
So.
But good on her, man. Yeah.
Well, of course.
Good on her. It's like, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Has he ever won that prize?
No.
Well, I also heard that, so this is it's really in, what country? What country does the Peace Prize come from? Whatever that country is. Denmark or... Yeah, you can research that real quick. There's a panel. And never in... Now, this goes back to what we were talking about in the bar when I was talking to my friend. You know, I don't really like the way he goes about things sometimes and the way he sounds and the way he... His vernacular and all that. But I guess he's really been lobbying for... And no one in history has ever really lobbied to win this prize. But I guess he has, and the thought was that it put the people off the board of people that picked that prize.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The fact that he was lobbying for it.
Yeah, they're in Switzerland.
Switzerland, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry,
Sweden. Yeah,
I get it mixed up.
There was speculation that because he kind of lobbied for it, that put them off, and so because of that, he didn't win. But he did. So
we'll see if he gets it next year. So. All right, before we take a break, we got a minute. Let's go to Pope Leo here. He has urged the world's Catholics to help immigrants in his first major document, which was released last Thursday. And it's focused on the needs of the world's poor. He's called for widespread changes to the global market system to address rising inequality and et cetera, et cetera, because I'm running out of time. Basically, he wants everybody to be nice to immigrants and let them into their own let them into countries, but he's going to keep the Vatican doors locked.
Yeah,
should. Because.
Yeah, no, that goes back to the, how dare you build a fence?
Yeah.
Oh, but there's a fence around the Vatican.
Yeah, there's a very big one.
Why didn't they just...
Guarded by men with guns.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like... That's not okay.
But Catholics, huh?
Yeah, he never distinguishes between legal or illegal, does he?
No. No, it's just we have to be nice to the poor, and it's
That's fine. You know what? I agree. We should do that, and we should take care of our poor in this country and stop all foreign aid until we do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not necessarily all that opposed to that. Sure. But guess what? You don't get
to tell us what to do. Yeah.
But you don't get the dole that we've been handing out for ever and ever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, okay, yeah, you're right. We'll do that.
And you're cut off until we take care of things.
Yeah. 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 I lost a friend to an illegal immigrant, so I have very strong feelings about it.
Mm-hmm.
The thing in San Francisco?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I told you, Cheyenne and I, what's her name? Oh, I can't think of her name, but Cheyenne and I used to walk on that pier.
Yeah.
On that same, right there, it's kind of by the ferry building, you mm-hmm. walk along yeah. the water, there's a...
Kate Steinle.
There's a walking path.
Yep.
And we used to walk on that very path, and so that hit me. I was just like, mm-hmm. that could have been me.
Yeah. Yep.
No, it could have been my daughter.
Yeah.
Which, yikes. And just, I mean, we did bring it up, so we should say this is a guy that has been deported 5 times, a felon, and he was in San Francisco because they are a sanctuary city, and they had let him out again. Had no business being in this country, and had Trump been president, mm-hmm. he wouldn't have been.
Yep.
All right, back after this.
I can't hear you.
I said, don't rant too long.
Why?
Because we have other stuff to get to.
Like what?
I got a whole sheet of things here. It's Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. Coach isn't finished with his San Francisco commentary, so I'm done with that.
I want to go on to the next one. I want to go on to this...
Jay Jones?
Yeah, Virginia mayoral race and this AG.
Mm-hmm.
And these text messages, my good, you know what? I just keep going back to the left and the Democrats. Yeah, they are just...
They're out of control.
They're inciting murder
yeah.
and violence.
And nobody says that's wrong. It's like, oh yeah, we denounce that. It's like, no, you got to do more than that. So why don't you go into the story and we can... if you don't have it, I have it up right here.
Go ahead.
Okay. So Virginia Attorney General candidate Jay Jones, a Democrat, facing growing pressure to drop out of the election race after texts he once sent suggesting a former Virginia House Speaker should receive, quote, 2 bullets to the head were made public. President Trump is among key Republicans.
What was that guy's name?
Jay Jones.
No. The guy that he's... said deserved.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Because it's not in the first two paragraphs. The texts were written by Jones, first reported by National Review, and viewed by Washington Post. Newsweek is na-na-na-na-na. The controversy around the text sent in 2022 has rocked Virginia's off-year elections that take place next month, in which Jones is running against incumbent Jason Mieres. Where are the texts here? Here we go.
My goodness, they're yeah. awful.
The text took a dark turn with Jones writing, quote, if those guys die before me, I will go to their funerals to urinate on their graves. I had to edit there and to send them out awash in something. Jones then suggested if he had only 2 bullets and was faced with the choice of shooting Gilbert or the dictators Hitler or Pol Pot, he would shoot Gilbert every time. Gilbert, of course, being his opponent at that time. A Republican, Todd Gilbert, Virginia House Speaker Todd Gilbert. Concerned about their violent context.
You didn't mention the killing of Republicans' children.
That's not in here yet.
Okay.
Go ahead and why don't you go ahead and...
Well, I don't really see it here yet either, but that was one of the texts that said that they should murder all the Republicans' children because it's the only way we'll pay attention.
Yeah, and someone, I'm looking at the text, the actual screenshots of the text right now. The person he was talking to is not listed, but they respond with, "Jay, please stop." He goes, "LOL, okay." And then the other person, "It really bothers me when you talk about hurting people or wishing death on them." And so whoever he was talking to is trying to, you know, get him off the ledge, but he just keeps going.
Well, and then there was the comments. I think it's very important that we talk about the comments for the mayoral candidate who was, you know, that video we watched earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Her comments, "Oh, I didn't know, I didn't know." And then when she did know, she said, "I denounced the text." But she didn't say she denounced the behavior or the content.
Yeah, and that's the big deal. It's like they continue to look at violence towards Republicans as, it's not a big deal.
But the fact that, like, this guy is, that they're even considering, she said the voters have the information now, mm-hmm. they'll decide. The fact that we're even allowing this guy to run is...
He did say in a statement that he's deeply, deeply sorry for what I said, and I wish that it hadn't happened, and I would take it back if I could.
In one exchange, Jones wrote about former Republican.
It's too late.
Yeah.
You played your cards. That's it. I believe you.
It's just so radical. And the fact that
where's dad?
Well, here's what Mr. Trump had to say about it. Quote, "Radical left lunatic Jay Jones made sick and demented jokes, if there were jokes at all, which were not funny, and that he wrote down and sent around to people concerning the murdering of a Republican legislator, his wife, and their children."
Yeah, it bothers me that that Trump would even use the word joke there. It's not a joke.
Well, yeah. Early voting underway, and the election is November 4, and so we'll see what happens.
Where is this election?
Virginia. But it's just more, I mean, Democrats are just deranged, and there is no dad in the room to tell them to watch their mouths, and they don't police each other, and when this is exposed, no big deal, it was just texts.
This guy should be jailed.
If this was
go to trial for domestic terrorism, 1,000%.
Well, it's definitely a threat. Yeah,
and
if this was a Republican, the outcry would be huge. But since it's a Democrat, they get a free pass.
It's just amazing to me. And again, it's, you know, in the light of Charlie Kirk and everything mm-hmm. that's going on, and the frightening thing to me is, you know, I mean, it's a double-edged sword, right? We have this whole resurgence of people really looking to their Christian values and mm-hmm. coming back to church and all that. There's huge, huge kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Revival.
Revival.
Yes, it really is, right?
Yeah.
And, but on the other side, you would think that moment in time would have
made everybody take a pause. Yeah. No. Nobody.
It didn't. It ramped up.
Yeah.
And that's the frightening thing to me.
Well, mm-hmm. they have to match the energy, right? They're ramping up because this revival stuff is going on, or resurgence of, you know,
Christian values,
rule of law and such.
And they want to stop it. So now,
hey, I got to go back to Taylor real quick, by the way. Did you hear that what the left is doing to her now?
No.
About, She was talking about picket fences and children
mm-hmm. oh,
and getting married to
to what's his face?
Travis. Is it Travis Kelce?
Yes.
Yeah, Travis Kelce. This and that. And then they said, "Oh, you're a Republican
mm-hmm.
because you want a house and children.
And picket fence."
And they like it's a bad thing.
Yeah. She's gonna build a wall.
And now and now you're a Republican.
Mm-hmm. And she's not.
And she's so not.
She is absolutely not.
She has endorsed every lunatic forever.
Mm-hmm.
But now her own people are turning on her just because she said she wanted to get married and have children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and her fans, they don't like her happy. And now that she's engaged, it's like, well, we liked you when you were miserable.
But
and
now,
when you were as miserable as we were.
Now, getting married and having children is a Republican value, and that's bad. Very bad.
Well,
children,
I mean,
are bad.
If that side doesn't want to procreate anymore,
that'll be good for us.
Well, it's something. Well, no, that's something. Even Charlie Kirk said in a tweet one time that birth rates were down overall, but with conservatives they were rising, with liberals they were dropping. He said, "We're going to outbreed them."
Let's go.
It's just simple math.
That's one of his quotes. Mm-hmm. The best thing you can do is get married and have as many children as possible.
Mm-hmm.
He said that all the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, let's.
Unless you're liberal.
That's right. Then
you should. Well, he also believed in working.
He did.
Earning a living, creating something, paying your own way.
Well, let's talk about getting woke generals out of the Pentagon. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's latest firing of a top Navy official injected a fresh wave of fear into the Pentagon over the cost of speaking up and who might be next. The Pentagon chief, in less than a year, has purged a handful of the military's most senior officials, terminating some of his closest advisors, and last week warned a gathering of generals and admirals that many of them could face a similar fate. You know, we're not getting rid of the good ones. We're getting rid of the slop. There is a quote, emerging culture of fear. There's a culture of intimidation and retaliation, said a senior defense official. It's better just to keep your head down and not necessarily try to do anything to the advantage of the organization, because it's very much run from the top down. In other words, you know, they're saying bad things about the commander in chief, and they think they should be allowed to do that. And Hegseth here saying no.
We have freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah,
but there are consequences,
right? And the consequence is you're going to be kicked out of the military.
Just like you can't say you're going to murder somebody's kids.
Yeah. So I thought
terrible.
I think this is good news. I mean, yeah, let's get the woke generals out. We got, if we ever have to fight a war, I don't want a general who's taken all of his advice from Lahore Vajistan at Harvard and you know, gets people killed unnecessarily.
Yeah, scary. Organizations are meant to accomplish something, and if you're not,
let's go pee.
If you're not working towards the organization's goals, then you should go somewhere where you want to work towards the organization's goals.
Mm-hmm.
And this general has been freed up to go and pursue something that's more in line with their beliefs.
There you go.
Good for them. Freedom. See, I told you I was a libertarian.
Well, we're almost up on a break here, so let
those breaks keep coming fast and furious.
I know, time flies. Before we go, let's do standing in line actually helps your brain. Waiting in line isn't just wasted time. Research shows it strengthens self-control, helping us resist short-term temptations in favor of long-term goals. Simple pauses before eating, spending, or replying to an email create space between impulse and action. Silence and waiting can foster reflection, creativity, better communication, and how people experience waiting varies across cultures, but international practices like savoring, gratitude, meaning-making, and mindfulness can turn idle moments into opportunities for well-being. So, is that true?
Or do we just get impatient and
cranky?
No, we've taught ourselves to be impatient because we get everything so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We like drive-thrus and instant, you know, instant this. We love microwaves and such. And when you speed up something that's meant to take time, there's a opportunity cost. It's funny. This story made me think of growing up as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
In our house, three siblings, my two parents, so five of us. And when we would sit down for meals, generally dinner, you sit down and one person talks at a time. That's it. You don't interrupt people and you wait your turn and that kind of thing. Politeness.
Mm-hmm.
And it really forced you to listen and spend the time at the table. And then no one could leave the table until everybody was done eating.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then you remember asking to be dismissed?
Yeah, that was right. Standard, man.
Remember asking to be dismissed from the table? You don't just get up from the table. No, you got to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about that forced time that is beneficial.
Yeah.
It teaches you how to communicate, relate,
So how does that early lesson apply to 3 weeks in a cast right now?
Up yours.
Because you have to wait and be patient and do things a different way, and you got to have time to reflect and learn self-control.
I'm glad that I had that upbringing and that training, because I'm literally having to wait for other people in the house to do things for me now, mm-hmm. and it's pretty frustrating.
Yeah,
but it has made me slow down. And
well, especially lately, that's probably not a bad thing.
Well, we think of slow as bad, mm-hmm. but slow is actually really good mm-hmm. in a lot of ways.
How about measured?
Measured.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. How about wow. I have a senior moment.
You're suffering from OLD?
I always suffer from that. Yeah. You know, in all things. Moderation. Yeah.
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 Moderation in all things. Yep.
Yeah. That's what I
was saying. Everything in moderation.
Yeah. Moderation
that's was how
the
I heard word it.
That was escaping my OLD brain.
Moderation is the last defense of the unimaginative.
Never mind. What did you just say? You are a ding dong.
He's playing into the urgent.
No, I heard that somewhere, and it's like you only want to moderate
and that's
stuff.
That's what sticks in your brain.
Yeah, oh it's like, yeah. No, I think the actual quote is moderation is the sincerest form of the unimaginative, and I can't remember who said it, but it was a commentary against moderation, but that's
from someone impatient.
That's right. All right, we got our final segment coming up. Women Behaving Badly takes us to Utah this week, and of course Coach's Corner and Scott's post-game wrap-up back after this. Yeah, we have five. Well, I have 10 minutes until I have to get out of here.
So you have to boogie.
Okay, I got to boogie.
Okay, well, be clear.
And then then. Okay, so I got a boogie. So that means we got to wrap this up. And if you guys talk too long, I'm just going to cut you off because I got to take all the gear with me.
Be clear. Why do you have to take all the gear with you?
Because I have to take it home and then edit the show and get it uploaded and et cetera, et cetera.
Taking it home.
Okay, now you're just wasting time. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach, back with you on Radioslot.com. No Ziggy this week. Women Behaving Badly takes us to Utah. A woman arrested on misdemeanor charges after allegedly chasing a threatening group of juveniles who had ding-dong ditched her home. An officer with the Mapleton City Police Department responded to a juvenile problem after a resident called to report a group that had rang their doorbell and run away. Police said the caller's wife then arrived at the scene and blocked the juvenile's vehicle in the driveway, preventing them from leaving. Officials said she then yelled and swore at the juveniles, pulling out a pepper spray pistol and pointing it at them. The woman allegedly used her palm to strike one of the juveniles multiple times in the chest. The officer said the juvenile had a red mark on his chest where he'd been hit.
Ooh.
The woman is unnamed. But whoever you are in Mapleton, Utah, you are this week's winner of the Women Behaving Badly Award. But I'm kind of on her side.
I'm going to say, this is a little bit of a weak one.
You're promoting violence, Mr. Drake. She hit him in the chest.
Yeah.
And pointed a pepper pistol at them, or a pepper spray pistol. I should get one of those.
We used to call that doorbell ditch, not ding-dong ditch. But I've done that. Plenty of times,
of course,
as a kid.
Was
you know, right? Everybody's done that.
But her charges include misdemeanor charges, child abuse, threatening to use a dangerous weapon, and unlawful detention. So, but I'm still on her side.
I think that was a weak one.
No, I'm on the kid's side. We need fewer ladies that are going off the rails. Right. You said you didn't know her name. I do.
Oh, what is it?
Karen.
Okay. Much like my the pixie bartender.
Yeah. I want to know where her dad is. Okay. Scott's post-game report brought to you by the Third Tee. Made me think today our conversation of the tyranny of the urgent.
Ooh.
Remember that phrase, the tyranny of the urgent?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
We tend to make things urgent that were never meant to be urgent. And when you do, when you try to rush stuff, yes, there's consequences, right? The only thing that should ever be urgent is getting to the restroom.
Well, there you go. Well, we know that. We know that.
There are times for urgency, but very, very few compared to what we think there are.
I agree. I think, people always get urgent and important mixed up because they're not the same.
And usually neither are true.
True.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
Coach's Corner?
Actually, Ziggy, he texted me. So, he was talking about, he likes frogs.
He likes frogs.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was asking me, he goes, what kind of shoes do they wear? I said, come on, open toed shoes.
Open toed shoes.
Okay.
No, I hope Ziggy's having a good time teaching his course at Harvard.
Oh, yeah, okay. And do you have a quote for us this week, Roach?
I do. This is another Charlie Kirk saying.
All right.
Liberals believe in the power of government. Conservatives believe in the power of the individual.
Mm. I
think that's apropos.
Yeah, very good. Any final remarks before we wrap up?
I'm good.
Okay.
I miss Ziggy.
Yeah. He's gone 3 weeks.
The shoes thing?
No, I liked it. Yeah. It was good delivery. Good job.
But he's 3 weeks that he'll be gone, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well.
Well, he'll be back in 3 weeks.
He'll be back in 3 weeks.
So he's going to miss two more shows.
Right on. Well, we will see you next week. Full show archive at BrianDrakeBooks.com, and it's time for Mary to throw her hat in the air.
Y'all be good to each other.
Meow.